Praise God. Thank Him for all the great things He's done for us. For you, not just me. Did you know God gives rain on the just and the unjust? Did you know that? Well, you might ought to consider that. I mean, He'll pour rain out on the unjust. So if you're getting rain, doesn't mean you're just. Means you're just getting some rain. Right? Amen. So don't be so puffed up. Amen. Just believe God. Bob Carpenter, we're going to read, the 19th chapter of the book of Acts tonight, right?
Right.
Before we start, I listened to your 31-minute audio today about Jezebel and her witchcrafts and her whoredoms. And I'd heard a bit about your experience with Jezebels. But Lord, you lived in a coven of witches.
Amen.
And made it. You survived, man. What a blessing. Well, I understand that one, you know. I've certainly been around a couple of those Jezebels. And, you know, they're so nice always. Yeah, till you cross them. Have you ever seen a blue-tipped Siamese cat? Well, they are absolutely the meanest cats I've ever seen. Now, I know that's going to make some woman unhappy. But those blue-tipped Siamese, they go, wow! Jump all over you, their fangs stuck at you. And that's the way Jezebels are. They're just so nice. There's really nothing in me that would ever want to hurt you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And then the wind changes. Well, really? The wind changes. Oh, my God. Do they get hot? Mad? They're an endangered species. They are a danger to themselves. That they have no control, no sense. My Lord, common sense out the door. Common sense is the wisdom of God. So, Brother Bob, what do you say? We start the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 1, and this is an interesting chapter.
Amen.
So let's go.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, and said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.
1 minute. That baptism ceased with John. After that, it was water Christian baptism, or Christian water baptism, that John the Baptist baptized Jesus with in the River Jordan. But it was the same man baptized Jesus and baptized others with John's baptism, John the Baptist. But it was not the same baptism. Got that?
Amen.
So let's go.
And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Yeah.
And all the men were about 12. And when he went into the synagogue, he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks.
Amen. Now let's go back. The Apostle Paul laid hands on those 12 men. They just received Jesus. Just received Jesus. And then Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. Spoke in other tongues. Then I believe it says there, then they were baptized in water. I'm not sure of that. Been a long while since I read this. You know, wizards and witches in their witchcrafts have overpowered my soul, and I've not been able to read the Bible or most anything else for almost 4 years. Now, I did read with my tablet, but then I even came to a place I couldn't read with that. He said, what kind of tablet? Not answering your question. Be quiet. Let's move on.
Amen. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
Aprons and handkerchiefs. Right. And does it say, what did he do, lay hands on them?
It says that he, they just...
Well, go ahead.
They brought those to him. It didn't say that he laid hands on them.
Okay. Well, anyway, the anointing went out of those, out of the handkerchief, and that they brought to Paul. And that anointing going into those people cast devils and devils, evil spirits, unclean spirits out of people, and people were healed, right?
Right.
Let's back up there a couple, three verses and read down about two or three past where you were, where I started talking.
But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
From his body.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
Now, let me back up, say more. That was a Bible school or a Christian school. That's what God told me to start here in Water of Life in 83. And those were the scriptures that he used to show me what to do. The Apostle Paul did that, taught there. I taught in this Bible school or this school, but I taught in my own from 84 to 90. So what I've done has all been scriptural. Let's go on.
Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?
And the
man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified.
If you think the devil doesn't have power, there's a good example. You people don't know what you're talking about. You say you are involved in exorcism and what have you. You don't know what you're saying at all. You have to do it in Jesus' name, takes faith and the power of God to cast out evil spirits, unclean spirits. And those unclean spirits, no, they knew Jesus and they knew Paul. And those evil spirits know me. I was in Jerusalem once in 84 and left a actually a camera at the hotel. And Ralph and Terry and I had to go back to get it. We got walked down this hill and got in this Mercedes, and I got in the back seat, and one of them's in the front, I don't know, Ralph or Terry, the other was back there and me, and the guy driving that car, and he said, well, I know who you are. I saw you at the St. George Hotel in 1984. I thought, Ralph, have you told this guy who I am? And I sat there and I thought, well, you know what? That's where I was there in October, 84. Yeah, excuse me. This was 84. We're going back to 74. The St. George Hotel, I know. He said, I know Billy Graham. He said, I know Jerry Falwell. He said, I know Oral Roberts. He started naming everybody. That was a devil in that guy. Nothing but a devil. Thank God. I just had to move back 10 years. So let's move on, Bob.
All right, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver.
Curious arts, witchcraft. I was reading reading this chapter in 1986 in April, and I came across reading those verses that Bob just read, and I was a veterinarian, had all kinds of medical books, both animal and man. And as I read, God said to me, your medical books are curious arts. I said, well, I don't think this can be God talking to me. I do not believe this would be God at all. So I just went on. In August, I think 6th or 8th, 86, I lacerated my wrist on a little old 2x2 light that I was putting in the hallway. My Lord, lacerated it, it looked terrible. I looked, I could see the nerve, I could see the veins, I could see the arteries, and I could see a tendon was cut completely in two, and there was little blood coming out of that wound. So I got Pat, who's in heaven now, and she drove me to physician's office in McKinney. He was a friend of mine and had been for years, and also a surgeon, and he happened to be in his office. And I was laughing, and he said to Pat, he said, what's he taking? She said, you're not taking anything. Oh, he's on something. I was laughing. And I said, sew my arm up and be quiet. You talk to a physician that way, I talk to the devil that way. Do you know that? How you like that? He said, you've destroyed your arm. So they bring in another specialist, and these guys, my God, I said, sew the thing up. If I were a horse, I'd sew it up myself. I knew what was wrong. Well, they told me, said, you've destroyed your wrist. You'll never use it again. Oh, good. I'm talking about perfect. So they put a cast on. I don't want to tell this whole story. Sutured up, put a cast on it, and told me I had to wear it 6 weeks. And that night, Terry and Kathy and Patty and I went to Denton to have a meal, and I went there on some business, and I looked and I saw where they put that cast on. They did not tack it all down, the gauze. And I looked at that thing, and God said, you should obey God, not man. I said, oh, what are you saying? You should obey God, not man. What are you saying? You should obey God, not man. I said, excuse me. I went to the men's room, started teasing that thing loose, and I took about 2/3 of that cast off. Came back, finished my dinner, and then I forgot, we probably already done the business, came back to McKinney, and I didn't have any cast cutters in those days, but I had some tin snips, so I got them and just clipped it, split it and threw it away. Never said a word about it, never went back to position, and the thing was fine. Within about 12 days, I was using it doing fine, but I'd use it and it hurt. And I had a medical book, a New Orleans medical dictionary that I liked, and I wanted to keep it. And I was sitting there one day looking at it, and it was on a shelf, and God said, you need to throw that book in the trash. Oh, man, I hate to throw them all, you know, a whole bunch of them. But I had thrown a lot of them in the dumpster, and as I'd throw them in, I'd begin to be delivered, weep. God would set me free. So I said, okay. I threw that New Orleans Medical Dictionary in the trash, and I don't know if I preface this, but pain was in this wrist. And when I threw it in there, a lot of the pain left. And within 1 year, there was no pain in that wrist. And I could do anything with it, pick up anything. It's as strong as the other one. That is the gospel I preach and walk in and minister to God's people that have faith. Go ahead.
All right, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. In the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workers of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands.
Amen. No idols.
All right.
You know, that man did Paul much damage. You know, there are two people that used to be in this ministry, and they have done me much harm. You know what God said? Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You know, they'll have to pay for what they've done to me. God's word's true. Do you know that? God's word is true, and they will pay for what they've done to me. Go ahead.
Verse 27. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians.
Right, idol.
Amen.
An idol. Amen. Go ahead.
And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another. For the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man. The law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if you inquire in anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. In the last verse, and when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly.
I suggest you all read that chapter 19, chapter of Acts, read it, study it. I pray, Father, grant them revelation of that word as they read it. Open their heart and open their eyes and let them see the words of the living God. I give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.